and Kathy Dawesnell, along with Manhattan Regional Airport Director Jesse Romo, and welcome him here today. We finally got our schedules to coordinate and get together here a bit. I've been wanting to chat with you for quite some time now. You have some employment numbers for us, and how are we doing that way?
Yeah, Kathy, you know, first, thank you for having me back on the show. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. And May and June are looking pretty good, and that's when we started with the large aircraft down to Dallas. So we got those CRJ-700s flying to Dallas. Those are 65-seat aircraft. 9 seats are dedicated for first-class service, more overhead compartment space, you know, Wi-Fi capabilities, a lot more luggage capacity. So there's a lot of benefits to having that larger plane. And what's really nice is to see our employments pick up. So people are actually using the bigger plane too. So all the customer feedback we've been hearing is extremely positive. They like the extra room, the extra space. It's been great timing too, as we get a lot of soldiers coming back from their deployments. We're seeing a lot of them, and they come in with a lot of different luggage. So it's great to see our employment numbers being ticking back up in 2017.
And so, I mean, you're keeping the planes pretty full then, sounds like. That's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, very encouraging. We continue to need people, though, flying and using our service. Go to flymhk.com, book your travel today. Use our travel calculator. Remember that you got to look at the holistic cost of travel when you're comparing our rates versus another airports like, you know, Kansas City. We know we got a lot of competition there, but it is so much more convenient to fly local. It's so much more convenient when you're coming back from that long trip to be able to come back and be home in 10 minutes as opposed to having that 2-hour drive.
Having done it both ways, I will totally agree with that. And of course, and if you make your reservations enough ahead, a lot of times you can get pretty good rates.
It can be pretty competitive.
Right. Now, I know you had to do some real quick action security-wise, TSA-wise, and that all went pretty well. I mean, I don't know if you're still fine-tuning anything that way at all, or?
We did. We had about 90 days in order to upgrade our whole security program, and just kind of a quick recap. There's a federal regulation out there. It's archaic, but it has this line drawn in the sand that any aircraft with 60 or more seats on it, then you have to have a complete program. And with the CRJ-700 having 65 seats, we're over that threshold. It kicked us up a notch. It's not anything that the public will see. They won't notice much different experience other than they're going to see a couple more people in the terminal. As security, we have airport security personnel. We have contracted security that's also inside that hold room. And so those are a little bit of the changes, and we're a little bit more strict on enforcing that it is a loading zone only in front of the terminal. But other than that, the customer really isn't going to see all the different things that we have to do administratively, running background checks and all that other stuff. But yeah, we had 90 days in order to accomplish that, and it's quite the feat for any airport to go through. And luckily, we went through it successfully with the TSA. We had a really good partnership with our federal security director down in Wichita, and we got everything lined up, got our staff in order. So thank the commission for all their support in getting that done in order to us to be able to hire those additional people. And thank all the staff down there at the airport that works every day to make that happen. So
do want to remind our listeners, as always, phone lines are open, 537-1350, toll free 866-776-1350. If we're not getting to subject matter that you're of interest when it comes to the airport, I know we have had some questions before about food service and still kind of struggling
yes,
with that a little bit,
yes.
It sounds like.
Well, we did reissue an RFP. As a reminder, we had an RFP issued late last year. We got one respondent coming in, and the commission wanted to make sure we had opportunity to evaluate the proposal against others. We wanted to make sure that, you know, we were getting the best deal possible. We reissued the RFP. We kind of reworked it a little bit, re-advertised, and didn't get any proposals back. So right now we're evaluating our options. We met with our airport advisory board members, working with city management as well to see what we can do with that space, as well as in the meantime expanding maybe our vending options, just to improve the customer experience in any way that we can. So we're aware of the issue, we're working on it, and we're hopeful that we can continue to make improvements.
Having had the honor to sing there a time or two during the Christmas season and open house season, I know there are quite a few people that kind of mill around for an hour or so, half an hour. I mean, they have to be there early for their flights. So, I mean, it seems like a food service would make some sense.
Food service would make sense. And we also have about 800 total employees that work in that valley area. We have the business park, you know, from Briggs to Foley and all the other companies that are out there. We've got a lot of employees that don't have a lot of food options. You either got to drive over the hill and get into town or get into Ogden, which also doesn't have many options. So It'd be nice to have that alternative there at the airport where people can come over and drive in and have some lunch there.
I know you tried the mobile idea for a while.
Yeah, we've tried food trucks, and we've sporadically had some food trucks come over, too, in between times and have approached us and trying to get out there. So where we can be creative, we're going to. And like I said, we're going to continue to try and find ways to improve the customer experience.
Sounds like a little bit of discussion having to do with landing fees, Airport Advisory Board, and maybe an update on that.
Yeah, with the bigger aircraft, you know, it's heavier, and the airlines having to pay a little bit more in landing fees. And our fees were set in ordinance back in the late 90s, I think it was 97 or 99. And so it's been a while. Whenever you have an ordinance or a law that's, you know, been in effect for that long, it's valuable to go back and look at does that structure and do the rates still apply to today and today's scenarios. And for us, you know, we had categorizations based on weight. So anything under 60,000 pounds was 40 cents per 1,000 pounds. And then over 60,000 pounds, it jumps from 40 cents to $1.50 per 1,000 pounds. So it is a significant increase. So I can see why, you know, the airline requested us to review our ordinance. And we're doing some comparative analysis with other airports and working with the Airport Advisory Board and see what we can work out.
I'm serving on the Local Emergency Planning Committee, of course, locally for Riley County. Happened to hear earlier this week we had a meeting, and I know that you're planning a pretty big emergency response drill there at the airport in the very near future, if you want to share with us, so people will know that it's not the real deal. But
you know, a lot of our success depends on our partnerships, and this is one of them. You know, it's a federal requirement for us to have a full-scale operation exercise every 3 years, and that's what this is. Riley County Emergency Management is really the show that runs the whole operation there, but we provide the venue. We're going to have a fuselage out there burning, and we're going to have some mannequins and volunteers, so it's going to simulate an aircraft crash. And so next Wednesday, July 19th, from 6 to 8 p.m., don't be alarmed if you see a lot of movement activity at the airfield. We've got a space dedicated kind of off Wildcat Creek Road where we're going to have RCPD out there blocking some of the streets. We're going to have a lot of emergency responders. You'll see the ARF trucks rolling. You're going to see what looks like pieces of an aircraft burning. You're going to see what looks like bodies laying out there. And if you see any of that, don't worry. We've also got volunteers pretending to be family members of potential victims arriving at the terminal. So just as we would have in a real case scenario, we try to play all those things out so we all understand what role we have. That's between us, the airline, security, RCPD, emergency management, fire. And so everybody comes to the table for an emergency of that nature. So it's good to have an exercise like this.
In fact, I'm looking because I couldn't remember when this happened, but the end of April, you had an exercise, and we did have an alert listener let us know about
That's right.
It. Got us all excited. We called you. We did end up posting a picture, thanks to you, I believe, and it was just an exercise. I mean, so we do want to remind people that you do that occasionally.
Yeah, we have to. You know, we have to have training out there and make sure that we're sharp and ready to go, so just in case there is a real incident that occurs, everybody's ready. So, yeah, that was funny. That was from the fire department's training.
Right,
they had a little fuselage out there that was burning, and then they go out there and do their tests.
Exactly. Well, and also, while I'm looking at our website, of course, newsradiokman.com, we also had an opportunity to be involved with a tour that Senator Moran and Mayor Reddy participated in, I think, at the airport a few weeks back.
Yeah, it was great to have Senator Moran come out. You know, first he visited Wichita's airport, and then the next day he came out and visited ours. And both times he spoke very highly of aviation and airports in Kansas and his support, and also expressed his concerns over the proposal to privatize air traffic control. And so we have what's called a federal contract tower. We're part of that contract tower program. So our air traffic control operators aren't FAA employees. They're contracted employees. And so it's this public-private partnership. So it's a quasi, you know, privatization of that. And it's good. It's, more efficient than the FAA towers. But at some point, you hit a law of diminishing returns, and when is too much too much. And so it seems like this privatization issue is raising a lot of concerns with general aviation airports, with commercial airports like ours that are more regional, and just across the board. So really appreciate Senator Moran's support of our airport, our federal contract tower program, and and appreciate him and his staff watching that that whole issue develop.
I think we're out of time. I think we got to most of our talking points. We could talk all day, I know, Jesse, but anything else real quickly you want to say before you wrap up? Or
no, I just appreciate everybody. Continue to get on board, flymhk.com, and keep filling those planes.
Again, we've had with us today Jesse Romo, Manhattan Regional Airport Director. Appreciate him stopping by today, and you're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
Shop local. From flooring to inspiration to expert advice, Carpet One of Manhattan. They've got you covered. KMAN, Manhattan.
Steve Kathan. Turns out a Russian-American lobbyist was also at that